Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Anti-Capitalistic Mentality is a short socio-economic and philosophical work by Austrian economist Ludwig von Mises, first published in the mid-1950s. Rather than defending capitalism only through technical economic theory, Mises asks why so many intellectuals and ordinary people in capitalist societies come to dislike it. His central concern is psychological and cultural. He argues that opposition to markets is often shaped by resentment, envy, misunderstanding of how prosperity is created, and the influence of Marxist language on public thinking. The book is not a narrative or a policy manual in the narrow sense. It is an argument about perception, incentives, and the social habits that lead people to misread capitalism. Because of that, it occupies an unusual place in economic writing, combining polemic, social criticism, and theory in a compact form. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why Mises thinks intellectuals become hostile to capitalism. A major concern of the book is the special role of intellectuals in shaping anti-capitalist opinion. Mises argues that many educated people are not directly involved in market competition, and therefore tend to judge capitalism from outside its everyday functioning. They often seek prestige, influence, and social importance, yet capitalist society does not guarantee these rewards. That distance can create frustration, which then gets converted into criticism of the system itself. He suggests that intellectual opposition is not always based on economic analysis, but on a mixture of disappointment, social aspiration, and resentment toward institutions that do not consistently elevate their status. This matters because intellectuals help define the language through which the public understands economic life. If their framing is negative, capitalism can be presented as morally suspect, even when it is materially productive. Mises is therefore analyzing not just an opinion class, but the machinery through which criticism of markets becomes culturally dominant. Secondly, the influence of Marxist thinking on public interpretations of prosperity. Mises devotes significant attention to the way Marxism shapes how people interpret wages, wealth, and development. He argues that many readers absorb the idea that economic progress happens automatically through impersonal material forces, rather than through saving, investment, and capital accumulation. In this view, higher living standards appear to be a natural entitlement produced by history itself, not the result of deliberate economic coordination. Mises rejects that assumption. For him, the rise in workers' living standards is tied to increased capital per worker, which makes labor more productive and raises output. This is one of the book's most important corrective claims because it challenges a widespread tendency to treat prosperity as self-generating. By exposing the persistence of Marxist categories in everyday discussion, he shows how people may blame capitalism for inequalities while crediting progress to forces that capitalism actually helps organize. The result is a distortion of causation that weakens serious economic understanding. Thirdly, capital accumulation, savings, and the real source of higher living standards. One of the book's most concrete economic arguments is that prosperity depends on accumulated capital, not on wishful thinking or the mere passage of time. Mises insists that saving is not a withdrawal from social responsibility, but the precondition for better tools, better production methods, and ultimately higher real wages. When capital deepens, workers have more machinery, equipment, and complementary inputs available to make labor more valuable. This is how markets raise living standards. The point is both technical and moral. If people denounce capital accumulation as exploitative or irrelevant, they obscure the very mechanism that makes mass prosperity possible. Mises is also pushing back against the idea that capitalism mainly enriches owners while leaving workers behind. His argument is that the system channels investment toward consumer demand, and capitalists keep their wealth only if they serve the market effectively. In that sense, capitalism is not a fixed privilege structure, but a process of continual testing, where productive allocation determines who gains and who loses. Fourthly, envy, inferiority, and the psychology of anti-market sentiment. Another distinctive theme is Mises's psychological explanation of hostility to capitalism. He argues that market society constantly compares people against one another through visible success, income differences, and status distinctions. Such comparisons can trigger envy, disappointment, and a sense of inferiority, especially in systems where outcomes are not equalized. Rather than seeing these reactions as purely personal failings, Mises treats them as social forces that shape political attitudes. People who feel overlooked may come to condemn the competitive order that reveals their relative position. This does not mean every critic is jealous, but it does mean emotional discomfort can be converted into ideological opposition. The book is sharpest when it shows how moral language can disguise psychological motives. Complaints about capitalism may appear principled while actually expressing unease with competition itself. Mises uses this line of reasoning to explain why critiques of markets often persist, even when capitalism visibly improves material conditions. The emotional costs of comparison can outweigh the evidence of widespread economic benefit in the minds of opponents. Lastly, why economics is hard to accept as a human science rather than a physical one. Mises also addresses a deeper epistemological problem. Many people want economics to behave like physics or biology, with simple, visible causes and immediate certainty. He argues that this expectation leads to disappointment, because economic reasoning often requires abstract thought, attention to unseen relationships, and patience with indirect causation. Markets do not present themselves as neatly as machines or natural organisms, so people may find economic explanations unsatisfying or unintuitive. That confusion opens the door to political simplifications, especially claims that capitalism is arbitrary, immoral, or outdated. Mises's broader point is that anti-capitalist attitudes are sustained not only by resentment, but by intellectual habits that resist theoretical discipline. He defends economics as a rigorous science of human action, one that cannot be reduced to the models of the natural sciences. This topic gives the book lasting relevance because it explains why even well-educated readers can misread economic systems when they expect moral certainty or mechanical clarity, instead of analytical reasoning. In conclusion, the anti-capitalistic mentality will be most useful for readers interested in political economy, intellectual history, and the psychology of ideology. It is especially valuable for anyone who wants to understand why capitalism is often criticized, even in societies that benefit materially from market coordination. Mises does not merely defend free enterprise in abstract terms. He tries to explain the emotional and cultural sources of opposition to it. That makes the book different from standard pro-market writing, which often focuses on prices, incentives, and institutions without exploring resentment, status anxiety, or inherited ideas. Readers concerned with the relationship between economics and public opinion will find it especially revealing. It is also a good fit for students of Austrian economics because it presents Mises's insistence on capital formation, consumer sovereignty, and methodological clarity in a compact and accessible form. Compared with more technical works, this book is shorter and more polemical, but it remains intellectually dense. Its lasting value lies in showing that economic debates are rarely only about data. They are also about interpretation, identity, and the stories people tell themselves about wealth and progress. If you would like to support Ludwig von Mises, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.